And welcome into the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. We are broadcasting live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Nick Kieser, here with you on this Thursday morning. Joseph, how we doing? What's going on?
Hey, I'm doing good. Robbie, I'm doing all right.
you're a little close to me today. I'm basically doing the show from Rexrode's lap.
Tell me what you want for Christmas.
Many thanks.
Not the gout. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. We can avoid the gout. Yeah. Nick Kieser, how we doing? What's going on?
Doing good. Glad to be here with y'all this morning. So
we're glad to have you, Nick.
Yeah, glad to be here. Hey, Joe.
Glad to have you.
Joe, there's a new Keurig in the kitchen, by the way. Are you pumped?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so what happened to yours?
It's still in there.
Yours is now the backup Keurig?
But I believe we have a new machine because our coffee person that comes in for, I think it's community, right? They came in yesterday and brought something new in. Wow. So there you go.
It's a big day here in the studio.
Someone stepped up for you, Joe.
So is it like the old thing that's hooked up to the water?
No, not at all.
So you have to put in water.
The water has already been put in by yours truly because there was no water in there this morning.
Jeez. Okay. What a trooper that's Nick exciting. Kieser is.
That's exciting.
You know what else is exciting? Happy Masters opening day.
Oh,
happy Masters opening day to you, Joe. No, this has been something you've been looking forward to all year. And it's here.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
No, hey, I mean, I don't hate the Masters. I mean, that's cool. Good for the Masters. Who you got this year?
I'm going Rory. I think Rory finally breaks through this year and he wins.
Okay.
He's never won one. I think this is the year he does.
Yeah. Which is kind of wild.
It is kind of wild. Scheffler's the favorite, but I'm going Rory. And I'm hoping to see Tiger make the cut. That's about where I'm at on Tiger.
Yeah.
Just make the cut.
Yeah, make the cut would be big for him and the tournament.
Joe, one of the most disappointing days in sports yesterday that I've ever seen. I got all excited. I logged on Twitter last night, and I saw the first video I saw was a gym full of people in Fayetteville, Arkansas, calling the Hogs. And I was like, yes, we're going to see Calipari do it. And he didn't do it. He walked off the stage and started going off talking to people while other people were calling the Hogs. I thought a borderline fireable offense before he really ever gets going down there in Arkansas, but no calling the Hogs from John Calipari while everybody else in the gym was yesterday, Joe.
Yeah, so that is very disappointing, first of all. Come on, man. Have some fun. I mean, all this drama, and you can't give us a little call of the Hogs?
Yeah.
But also, I saw the video, and it is a little bit unsettling when they all do it. I mean, it really kind of freaks me out. It's like, what kind of cult is this? Like, if I was in a cult, I could be in a cult of bacon, you know, but it's a little bit freaky. But what was he doing when they were all doing it?
I think he was like shaking hands. And
like, where was
talking.
He? He was interrupting people while they were trying to call the pigs?
I don't know what was going on there, but I got so excited. I was like, because, I mean, the first part of the video was just like the outward shot of the whole crowd doing it. I was like, yes, we're going to get to Calipari, calling the Hogs. Nothing to be found. Just left.
Yeah. I mean,
if I'm an Arkansas fan, I'm ticked today.
Well, and you know that Hunter Yurecek was like, so, John, it would be amazing. I mean, of course he asked him to, right?
Of course.
So in these negotiations, Cal's like, yeah, you don't want to call the Hogs. Like, come on.
Not calling the Hogs. I will not do it.
I'm not going to do it.
I have way less optimism about his tenure now. After that,
he looked like he was fired up yesterday, though. I'll say that he's fired up to be there in Arkansas.
I did love the. He's like, I talked to the team. There is no team.
Thank you, John. We got to go put together a roster. All righty.
I love how
he took a nice veiled shot at Kentucky too. Of like, yeah, they actually have NIL here, and I don't have to do it all. And it's like, oh, okay, good. That's good. Way to go, John.
Yeah, that's been an interesting kind of thing to follow in the aftermath of him leaving it depends on who you believe, you know, it's there's his side and then there's he apparently really alienated some boosters along the way and that you don't want to alienate the money people.
You do not.
So John, if someone asks you to, you know, you're not calling the hogs, but if someone asks you if you like Tyson chicken, you know?
You say yes.
Yeah, I don't care if you get salmonella and you got to eat it raw. Yes, you like Tyson chicken.
You love Tyson chicken and you love Walmart. Those are two things you love.
You buy your Tyson chicken at Walmart. That's right. Shut up and eat it.
There's no question about it. Joe Brian Callahan and the Titans coordinator speaking to the media yesterday. You were there for the Callahan press conference. I got to say, and I tweeted this out yesterday too, I have no idea how good of a football coach Brian Callahan is going to be or not be, but I enjoy listening to him talk about football. And you know, I thought he was up there for like darn near 40 minutes yesterday fielding questions. And I really enjoy listening to him talk about the X's and O's of it, talk about, you know, kind of the roster construction part of it. And I thought really cool stuff from Brian Callahan yesterday. You know, especially for it being April the 10th with nothing really going on other than the off-season program. Good information from Brian Callahan yesterday at his press conference.
Yeah. I mean, it's the pressers are going to be great, you know, with him. And it's even when he won't tell you something, you're okay with it. Like, so Steve Lehman tried to ask him about who wasn't there. And he said something like, will you tell us, you know, who or what percentage of who's here? And Callahan's like, no, and he just kind of laughed at him, and you're like, okay, I can't be mad at you. Of course, he's not going to tell you anyway, right. But, you know, it's sort of like, even if it's like not giving information you want, you're like, I can't be mad at the guy. This is a great press conference. Yeah, I don't know what the football is going to be like. It's going to be really interesting. I mean, it's just a fascinating thing. You know, it's a very young, it's a young front office, young coordinators, you know, first time head coach, all this stuff. I mean, it's a lot of new stuff, but he's definitely engaging. And I think, you know, from the fan perspective, like there will be, you know, you're not always going to get satisfactory answers, and we'll see, you know, when losing hits and everything, sometimes the honeymoon period's over and things change when it gets ugly on Sundays. But I think like fans are going to get a lot more about their team from their head coach. So it was a good idea to fire Vrabel all along. That's the conclusion at 6:07 a.m.
I guess it was. A lot of noise being made after the press conference yesterday, Joe, about the lack of mention of Treylon Burks on the Brian Callahan part. Now, Nick Holtz brought him up later and talked about, you know, the 2 days he's been around Treylon Burks. He feels like he's learning a lot. But Brian Callahan was asked about, you know, the receivers. And to be accurate here, he specifically, when he was talking about it, he brought up slot, right? So he was talking about, you know, I'm excited to see Kyle Phillips, and Mason Kinsey's been here for a while, put in his dues, and this Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, all those things. So he may just not view Treylon Burks as somebody that's an option in the slot, but he didn't really bring him up when he was talking about any of the receivers. Spent a lot of time talking about Hopkins and Ridley, too. So did you read anything into that, or was that just people making too big a deal of something after an April press conference?
Yeah, well, I mean, it might mean something. You know, of course, Jared just, oh, my gosh, let's hammer this as much as we can hammer something on another loss, right before another Jared versus Joe loss. But, yeah, I mean, so he was asked, I mean, it sounded, like you said, he didn't mention him, and I guess – to Jared's point, is like he seems like he's pretty, you know, prepared and know and has a real good grasp on everything and knows what he wants to talk about. So if he's not mentioning him, doesn't that – I mean, it could mean something. I kind of took between all of it, you know, that those guys are sort of in a prove-it-to-us trailing kind of thing, right? So I don't think they're completely dismissing him out of hand. That would be silly. I mean, we know he's – talented enough to be some kind of a factor on an NFL team. And it's not like this receiver room is just so loaded that there's just no spot for him. But I guess you could read maybe something into it. I wouldn't draw strong conclusions, you know?
Well, again, the part that everybody was making a big deal of was him listing off, you know, Kyle Phillips, Mason Kinsey, and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, and I was like, well, he's talking about the slot. So, like, maybe it may just be as simple as he doesn't view Treylon Burks as, like, one of those true options in the slot guy. Now, I will say, and D-Mace brought this up after the press conference, and I think it's a good point. Like, if you felt like Treylon Burks is one of your best 11, you're going to find a way to get him on the field, whether that's on the outside, on the slot,
for sure,
wherever it is. So, like, if it doesn't really matter if you're like, well, I'm excited to see Kyle Phillips in the slot, or I'm excited to see Mason Kinsey in the slot. If you feel like Treylon Burks is going to be one of your best options, then he's going to be in there. And if he didn't list in there, maybe that does mean something. But, you know, I think trying to figure out the receiving room right now before the draft and what that's going to look like on Sundays in the fall is, I'm not going to say a waste of time, but it's hard to do when you don't know what the full picture is going to look like yet. I mean, if they go draft Rome Odunze at number 7 overall, then we're probably having a different discussion about what the receiving room is going to look like at that point.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I'm trying to remember because we actually kind of had a – it's amazing. It's hard to remember things that were said just a few hours ago. But I thought he was asked specifically about the slot. But did he actually brought that up. Is that right?
I think he brought it up. I'd have to go back and look. I'm trying to remember now, too, if he was asked specifically about it. I know he was – he brought up, like, you know, in the slot, I'm excited to see –
Burke, no, or yeah, I guess
Phillips, Kinsey.
Yeah, he NWI. Brought it up. Yeah, he brought it up. So yeah, and that's the thing. When he brought up slot, he was to me talking about guys. You know, the traditional, like Nick Holds later was like, you know, in the slot, you know, there's a lot of things you can do. They are going to move everybody around. So, I mean, Hopkins is going to play in the slot. Ridley's going. They're going to have plays where those guys line up in the slot, like. Holtz is like, we don't just want it, those two guys on the outside all the time. Like, you got to mix it up. You can get a lot. You can get really good matchups, put defenses in a bind when you put different players in a slot. But when Callahan, he did bring it up, so I was wrong about that. But, you know, he brought it up in terms of the traditional short space, little slot receivers, and that's where he said Phillips, McKenzie, you know. So in that context of him bringing it up, I would not have expected Treylon Burks to be brought up in that. Conversation.
Well, and the other part of this is, like, you know, they were talking on Caroline Willie and D-Mace yesterday, like, are they going to be relying on Treylon Burks? And my answer to that is pretty simple. I mean, no. I mean, there's been nothing that Treylon Burks has shown you at this point that you're going to rely on him. Now, I will say, like, that doesn't mean you can't give him a fresh start, and with a new coaching staff, a new system, you see what he has come camp time, you see what he's able to do once you start getting on the field. But, like, to me, if your plan of action right now, if you're Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan, is like, yeah, Treylon Burks is going to be a guy that's out there when we're 11 personnel all the time. Like, you relying on that, I think, is a huge mistake if you're the Titans right now.
Yeah. He's got to earn reliance. So, I mean, if he forces it to be, okay, we need to get this guy the ball some.
Sure.
Great. But right now, I don't think you would plan that. And obviously, these questions right now, it's a lot easier to kind of have a feel for that once we see if they draft someone or not, right?
Yeah.
If they draft someone, then even less likely that they do. If not, then I think there will be opportunity for him to carve out a role.
615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll continue the discussion on the Titans, including some interesting comments from Titans defensive coordinator Denard Wilson yesterday as well. We'll get into that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. We'll have the best and worst things in sports coming up at 645. So go ahead and get your best things, your worst things, on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Predators head coach Andrew Brunette will join us at 7:30 today on the program, so looking forward to that. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Joe, I'm excited when the season gets here to see how aggressive the Titans defense is. We've heard a lot about Denard Wilson, his background, the aggressiveness that leads into some of the defenses that he's been a part of. And TD asked him, I thought, a really good question yesterday about the defense and what that process could look like. Here's what new Titans defensive coordinator Denard Wilson had to say yesterday over at the Titans facility.
When you look at that, like, that balance between the front end and the back end, like, I know you got DB in your background, but is it a true marriage where, like, they help each other, or do you think that there's one that has more influence?
Look, I've been trained. I used to be a former scout. Like, we have great DBs. But in this game, the game is won in the trenches. right? Offensive line, defensive line. The way you win in the National Football League is you do what? You stop the run and you affect the quarterback. Now, is it merit? Yes, because when you can have corners or you have a scheme where they can get physical against receivers, and when that quarterback back foot hits and those receivers are connected, it causes a hesitation. It's a tick of time. And with a hesitation or tick of time, the D lineman put them down. Also, when you have guys like Jeffrey Simmons and Arden Key and Weave and all these guys up front, when they can beat their one-on-ones, now the ball has to come out. And I told the D-line this and the linebackers this as well. If you're not hitting the quarterback, you're a pass rusher when you're hitting the quarterback. But if you're not getting to the quarterback, you now become a pass defender. All right, so you can alter the pass by the way you get there, putting your hand, matching a hand, certain things, moving the quarterback off the spot. So, yes, rushing coverage goes hand in hand on everything that we do.
So that was Denard Wilson yesterday. I thought a really interesting breakdown there, Joe. I mean, you look at the Titans defense right now, obviously, and we've talked about this. They've loaded up in the secondary. Corner, you feel great about right now with the guys that they have. Pass rusher, not so much. Jeffrey Simmons, you feel good about. I think Harold Landry, you feel pretty good about, you know, especially now being healthy, coming off the year he had last year. Beyond that, I think there are a lot of question marks for the Titans in terms of how they're going to get to the quarterback, how they're going to affect the passer, and those sorts of things. An interesting breakdown from Denard Wilson there. What did you make of what he had to say and how that relates to the Titans defense?
Yeah, well, first of all, we talked earlier about Brian Callahan's presser, so let's also praise Denard Wilson's pressers. They're going to be good, too.
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of really interesting stuff from him, and also, I was looking at Corey Curtis. I felt like he was about to run through the wall as Denard Wilson's getting fired up yesterday. Corey was starting to limber up a little bit, you know. But I thought that was a nice, kind of a good confirmation, just in case anybody wondered if you know he's just looking for a you know. Backloaded defense. I mean, it was he came right out. I was like, yeah. I mean, the trench is where it's won. And again, I mean, that should be obvious to everybody. But obviously, it's a passing league, so you think about pass catchers and pass receivers and all that stuff, and all that's important. But I think just a confirmation that certainly they're not done. That they've got to continue to add, but also that. If he had his choice, and again, I think this is true of most coaches, and it's like you could have the best coverage in the league or you could have the best pass rush in the league. I think everybody's picking the best pass rush in the league.
Yeah.
Because you can have – I mean, like you just can't hold coverage forever no matter how good you are out there.
For sure. And, you know, one of the things I think that highlights where the Titans are at right now with that process is – He said, you know, when you have guys like Jeffrey Simmons and then Arden Key and Rashad Weaver, it's like, okay, well, a little bit of
well, you got to mention there. Everybody. You got to mention everybody.
I get it. But, I mean, it just kind of goes to show you where they're at, which, again, that to me is probably the most intriguing part of the draft. Like, we've talked so much about left tackle and Joe Alt that we know they're coming away with a left tackle at some point here. You know, we've talked about receiver a lot. But, like, where are they going to find help – rushing the passer, and could that be pretty high if they do that? I mean, that's going to be, I think, the most intriguing part of the draft for the Titans because they need it. They need help rushing the passer. And look, we've seen differing results when you draft a rookie high to come in and try to affect the quarterback. Sometimes that works out well. Sometimes it doesn't. You know, the Titans have a pretty good example in their history of it working out extremely well with Javon Kearse coming in from Florida. So we've seen it happen around here before. But can you find somebody, whether that's Dallas Turner really high or probably more realistically somebody in the second round that could come in and really not just be a good pass rusher but can play every down for you and can be in those type situations? You know, finding a guy like that, I think it's going to be interesting to see if the Titans can do that.
Yeah, they're going to need to address it in some way. It could break that some sort of help up front in some way, whether it's more interior, more edge, comes about in one of those first two picks. But you know, it's also again remember that the top two cap numbers on the team: Landry 23.8, Simmons 21.7. So, I mean, though, you know, so there, so you have invested, and I know obviously Simmons, that's not just a pass rush, but it's front seven, front six, whatever you want to call it, because really in the NFL it's a front six now anymore, right? I mean, you're talking about, so let me do the math on that. Yeah, $45 million. $45 million, your cap is devoted to that part of your team. That to me screams you've got to have a rookie that you can bring along and not pay a lot.
Andrew on the text line says, so thankful the days of seeing our defensive backs 9 yards off the receivers and watching easy completions are over. I assume they're over. One thing that is interesting, like how much are they going to have L'Jarius Sneed travel with the other team's best player?
That's another thing that Denard Wilson talked about yesterday, and I think it's – I hope people hear that, because I do get the feeling that because they have these guys, some people think that they're just going to go out and play man all day. I mean, like they're still going to be in different coverages. They're going to be in, you know, three, and they're going to be in quarters, and they're going to be in different – looks. So now again, if you're in quarters or what, you know, you can still press, you know, you can press in different zone defenses, but yeah, I don't know. I think that they have more flexibility to do that. I mean, the thing is, in the last few years, like when Christian Fulton was going and he was playing his best, that was one of those that in a given week it was like, okay, I could see him travel. The Titans did very little of that.
Very little.
You know, in the last few years. And again, I think that could be more like Vrabel Bowen philosophy or more just personnel limitations, but they will have the option to do that. And of course, at certain times in a game, I think if you have the ability to do that, it's very helpful, especially like in the red zone and a key part of the game. I mean, it's just like you're just going to match up. You're just going to play man, you know, and try to just squeeze that time away. And then you got to affect the quarterback. It's not like going to be constant. They're going to be in different looks. I do think the pressing will definitely be in the aggressiveness. I mean, because especially with Sneed, that's his oxygen.
Austin from Clarksville asked, if you were the GM in the second round, would you draft Darius Robinson or Sweat if both are there? What do you think of that? You're talking edge rusher, D tackle.
Yeah, that's a good, interesting question. I've heard TD talk about Darius Robinson, and I do agree. Darius Robinson of Missouri does bring Denico Autry to mind, because he's like he's kind of a tweener in that he's a big physical edge guy. So you know, first of all, that question, it's a good question, and so much of it is Denard Wilson, right? I mean, so much of it is okay in our scheme. If you're Denard Wilson, what does how does this fit? I'm a little. I'll be honest with you. I'm this Sweat thing. To me, you're in the biggest job interview situation of your life. Like this is. I mean, you are setting your entire life up right now, and you get pulled over for a DWI. That really concerns me. And, like that's a mistake. People make mistakes, but at this time. When you are trying, I mean, it's so critical. And again, it's like everybody has agents. Anybody can get an Uber. Like that really, maybe it bothers me more than it bothers some people, but that scares me off him a little bit. I mean, I like him as a player. So I guess to answer your question, Austin, I'd go Darius Robinson.
Going Darius Robinson. Somebody on the text line is asking about, have you heard rumors of Dak Prescott being traded to the Titans? How do you feel about that? Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen.
What?
I don't think they're going to go get Dak.
Did Dak build a house here? Jared,
go look at the property records.
Probably not.
Jared, have you been on Zillow today? Does Dak have a home?
Probably not.
We'll continue the discussion on the Titans. Some interesting comments from Brian Callahan yesterday on Will Levis as well. We'll get into those coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. Score big this spring with Lee Company and the Nashville Predators in the 10K Power Play Giveaway. Enter for a chance to win a Kohler home generator or $10,000 towards Lee Company Home Services. All you got to do, visit leecompany.com/giveaway in order to enter. That's leecompany.com/giveaway in the 10K Power Play Giveaway. Contest entries are accepted until Saturday, April the 20th. Lee Company, all you need. Taking your thoughts on the Titans. Joe, Brian Callahan talked about a lot of things yesterday. Obviously, Will Levis came up a few different times of his impressions of him so far and what he's noticed about Will Levis to this point early in his relationship with him. And one thing he talked about was kind of the leadership part of it and having veteran guys around him as well to help with that. Here's what Brian Callahan had to say on Will Levis yesterday at his press conference.
How beneficial can it be? We saw with Will Levis last year in D-Hop's relationship, and just D-Hop being that veteran wide receiver. Now you add a guy like Calvin Ridley in free agency. How beneficial is that to a guy like Will Levis who's only entering his second season?
It's hard to probably understate the help that that provides, where you have two really veteran players that have experience in the NFL. They've done it, and for lack of a better term. And when you're a young player, sometimes that helps because they can come to him and have the conversation about how they run a route, the technique. They're probably much more apt to be able to communicate that to him than he may be to communicate that to them because of their experience. And to have experienced players around a young quarterback certainly helps, because they're not necessarily always learning the same lessons together. There's some things that maybe Calvin's been through with his quarterbacks in previous places that he can share an experience or a story that may help that process move quicker than if you got two young players trying to do it together and sort of finding their own way. These guys have found their way. They're really proven players, and that's always going to be an advantage for a young quarterback.
So that was Brian Callahan yesterday at the press conference talking about the experience that Hopkins and Ridley bring to the table, how that could help Levis. What did you make of what Callahan had to say on that front?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that's something that can definitely help him. You know, talking about Levis, there's a lot of Levis talk in general. Levis leadership. You know, I think a really important point he made is, like, you know, like some things are chicken and egg, but I think this is very simple. Like, obviously Levis is, you're the guy and lead the guys and all that stuff, but performance is still, like, it's still what it comes down to is, like, is he going to be good? You know, is he going to perform well? Like, that's got to be the focus for him,
yep.
Right? You know, getting his game together. So like, the quote from Callahan, quote, yeah, it's a two-pronged process. It kind of happens simultaneously. But if you were to ever ask somebody that plays what comes first, obviously performance comes first. Then you get into the leadership stuff. But, yeah, I mean, I think the receivers will be, first of all, he and Hopkins have some. I mean, shoot, they're comfortable enough to bicker at each other on the sidelines last year, which I think is a good thing. It didn't seem to leave any, you know, sour taste in anybody's mouth. They were in the heat of the moment. They weren't afraid to talk to each other.
Well, in particular, Hopkins, right? Like, him, Levis doing that to Hopkins, and Hopkins being okay with it was encouraging.
Yeah, it's been like back then. He's a rookie now. Okay, he's not a rookie. He's a veteran. He's the clear starter. So they have that, and now you bring in Ridley, and you know it's obviously key that, like, those three have a great thing together, because those guys will play off each other, and those are the two guys we know are going to be on the field a ton and are going to get the most. I think clearly the most two targets on the team. It would take injury for that to be anyone else to be close. I think, like, I don't think there'll be a close third. I think it'll be those two guys. So Levis and their relationship and their chemistry and everything is critical.
I thought that was probably, at least in my opinion, the most impressive part about Levis last season was kind of those leadership qualities. And I think not even just the leadership qualities, because I think it's hard for us to, like, really quantify that. I mean, we're not in the locker room. We're not a part of those conversations of what he's talking about with, you know, Hopkins and all these other receivers. But, like, you could see it on the field. Like, the Miami game comes to mind of leading by example. And I think sometimes it was a little bit too much, like, get yourself down and try to not get yourself killed out there. But it was clear that he's not afraid to either get in somebody's face or not afraid of the moment of stepping up and leading by example when need be, like those types of things that you're looking for in a quarterback. I think a lot of those were on full display last year. Now, again, is that the most important thing at the end of the day if he can't play well? No. I mean, it's going to come down to whether or not he's a good player, whether or not the accuracy continues to improve, decision-making, all that stuff. But, like, the intangible stuff I thought was incredibly encouraging from Will Levis a year ago.
Yeah. I think he's got the right approach and voice and intensity to be very effective, if he's good.
Yeah.
Yes, that's it, you know? If he validates that voice with his performance and he's leading this team and he's a good quarterback, then I think that part of it will be taken care of. I mean, look, throughout your favorite quarterback's tenure here in Nashville, Marcus Mariota, even when he played well, sometimes people would complain about how he never says anything, and then people would leave and they complain about how he never says anything.
Yeah.
Ultimately, Marcus Mariota just, you know, couldn't deliver the football well enough, accurately enough, consistently enough to be a top quarterback. But I do think that was something that frustrated people at times. That's not going to be a problem with Will Levis.
If Marcus Mariota was really, really good and DeMarco Murray and Eric Decker left here and we're talking about him, it would be like, well, he doesn't have to say a whole lot. He just kind of leads by example out there. Like, I think it still comes down to, like, how good a player are you?
Yeah, but I agree, but I do think some people – and it kind of, you know, like people who came from, like, Brady, for example, who, by the way, is like Levis's idol.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure any kid of that age, especially a kid living in that region of the country, you know, like, you do kind of expect that. But yeah, there are certainly different kinds of quarterbacks all over the league with a variety of styles in that way. And if you're good, that's what matters most. I mean, some of them are out there on hallucinogens, you know.
And other things.
Building houses in Nashville and making up stories on the internet.
Lenny on the text line says, Levis is good. It's just how good or how great. This is from Lenny. Lenny already convinced that Levis is good. Levis, I think, for sure, Joe, undeniably, has a lot of good qualities. Like, he's got a rocket of an arm. The Miami comeback last year and kind of the moxie that was on display there I thought was really good. Clearly, he's tough. Like, there's a lot of toughness that he brings to the table. So he's got a ton of really good qualities. There is a difference at the NFL level of having good qualities and putting it together and kind of rounding all that into form on a consistent basis. That's what playing quarterback in the NFL is about, is can you make the right decisions? Can you make the right reads, the right throws in the right moments all the time? Like, that's what playing the quarterback in the NFL at a high level is about.
Yeah. And I just, you know, I have a totally open mind on Levis. I mean, I think you see the talent where it could all come together. And so much of it is also, no matter whether you want to believe it or not, like, some people are going to think that, since we're talking about Tom Brady, that Tom Brady just, you know, put everything on his shoulders and it didn't matter what was around him or whatever. And that's not true. I mean, scheme and personnel and relationships and all those things matter so much. So the Titans are trying to put all that, you know, around Levis. I have a totally open mind. I mean, I don't discount the idea that he could be great. I don't discount the idea that by November of next season, it might be like, yeah, it's just not it. I think there's a huge range of possibility for him right now. And I'm fascinated to find out. But I do agree, like, I think last year was definitely more good than bad. Was I would call it encouraging overall, but it's just there's still so much more to get to before you can say, oh, yeah, that's a guy that you're going to pay and that you're going to have leading this franchise for many, many years.
Coming up next, it's time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
The best and worst of the sports week, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It's time!
This is the worst.
You look like you're feeling sorry for yourself.
Believe in miracles? Yes!
Unbelievable. He's one of one. He is him.
This is a Coke bottle, it's not a crystal ball.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Okay, let's go.
It is that time of the week, time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, your best and worst things in the world of sports for this week.
You know I'm going back to basketball, everybody. Woohoo! My best is a lot of things. I mean, I would take the whole thing. I think the last month was great. I just think it really was. And it wasn't even the best men's basketball tournament by any stretch. I mean, I can recall some that had better, you know, Final Four games, better championship games, but more buzzer beaters, more upsets. But still, you know, you're talking about, first of all, the women's tournament, the championship game getting an $18.9 million. That is an absolutely absurd number, and it beat the men. And the men, you know, were like around $15 million, I believe, is what the final was. Obviously, so much of that was, I think, Caitlin Clark, but it was also the South Carolina dynasty, and just there's just so much interest. So fantastic for women's basketball. But I think all of March was great. And, you know, I'm going to go to my worst. My worst is people who want to crap on the NCAA tournament.
Like, Stilley was doing this to me the other day.
No, I know. Oh, he sent me the text. He in trying to prove to me, you know, that no one gives a crap about the NCAA tournament, he sent me like text he sent to you and text sent to Caroline. I'm like, great. Well, thanks for sharing, Jared. I mean, you know, the men's championship game got 15, you know, whatever, 15 million, 15 whatever million it was. I don't have it in front of me. You know, do you want to go through all the other sports and compare it to, like, the NBA Finals, the Stanley Cup Finals? I mean, on and on and on. It blows all those things away. Like, I mean, so obviously there's a ton of interest. Nothing touches – well, really nothing touches the NFL, and then you go college football. But if you want to go what people care about in this sport collectively, the numbers tell you very clearly it's the NFL. It's college football. But, by the way, four college football games last year, four, had a higher number than the women's championship.
Yep.
It was like the Rose Bowl, the championship game, Michigan, Ohio State, and one other one. Okay, but that's fine. NFL, college football, and March Madness. Those are the top three things collectively by the numbers by far that we give a crap about. So let's not crap on it. Thank you.
Nick Kieser, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
To start, I would say, I don't know the last time I can remember that a fight stirred up a team as much as Michael McCarron's fight did. That was a lot of fun to watch. Seeing Spencer Stastny bat the puck out of midair right in front of the net, I mean, look, that was an awesome play. And then you tie the game as well, Ryan O'Reilly, just that clutch moment. I think that just encapsulates what the Predators have looked like here the last few months. So that would be where I want to start off things. And then the worst... staying in the NHL, and I want to see what else happens with this in the next few weeks, I guess, because there's some more headlines coming. The Coyotes are losing their team, more than likely. It sounds like they're going to be going to Salt Lake City for the time being, and that sounds...
They're moving their team.
Yeah, they're going to be going. So it's going to be interesting to see if that area gets a team back. The plan is for them to have the expansion fee again to come back to Arizona, just from some early reporting. So that definitely sucks for that area. There was a lot of good hockey, and Shane Doan's son just scored his first goal, almost two weeks ago for that team. And so just not good for the Arizona Coyotes fan base yesterday.
I'm interested to see, number one, what they're going to be called in Salt Lake City. Number two, what that looks like as a long-term kind of market there. But, yeah, I mean, it didn't really come out of nowhere. I mean, look, I only have limited sympathy for Arizona. They've had about 15 years to figure this out, and they haven't been able to do it. So, at some point, it just kind of is what it is. You got to either figure it out or move on. But certainly feel for the fans of the Arizona Coyotes there.
Do they have Coyotes in Utah? They probably do, right?
I'm sure they do.
We have a ton of Coyotes, and we could be the Coyotes in Nolensville.
Yeah, for sure. I'm sure there's some Coyotes running around.
Well, NSC is called that, too.
Could be.
Yeah, you know that the soccer club is kind of called that too, right? Because they had a coyote on their field a long time ago, which is why the mascot is Tempo.
Look at you. A history of Nashville SC right there.
Yeah, just there you go.
Treasure
Coyotes
trove.
Are everywhere, Joe.
Factoids.
Nick's like a walking encyclopedia.
That's what my grandmother said growing up, actually. So thanks, Robbie.
You're very welcome.
You're very grandmotherly.
I am. My best thing in sports, the Masters. By the way, your 2024 Masters leaderboard, which has not started yet, being delayed by weather this morning. Brought to you by Burger Republic, defending quality in Nashville for 12 years. I'm very excited. This is my favorite golf tournament of the year. Obviously one of the four majors. Tiger's back in there. It's a loaded field. You got the LIV guys playing in this too. So that, I mean, it's the one venue every year where they play the same at the same spot at Augusta National. I love that golf course. So Masters Week, my favorite thing. Honorable mention, obviously, to the Preds making the playoffs. My worst thing, every year at this time, Joe, in the last couple of years, I'm reminded that the NBA play-in games are still a thing. And that's still a thing this year, too. And for whatever reason, you know, my Miami Heat can't seem to find themselves out of the play-in game. So last year they went in the play-in game and then went to the NBA Finals. I don't think that's going to happen this year, but I cannot stand the NBA play-in games. Just take the top eight seeds, let's move on, get in the playoffs. That'd be great.
I'd agree with you, but my Warriors are going to make a run, so I have to disagree this year.
Where are they at, 9, 10?
They are a half game behind the Lakers for the 9 spot and one game behind the Kings for the 8 spot. So I guess if we didn't have this, it'd be a race to try to get in, and you're a game behind the Kings. So that would be exciting, too.
Yeah.
But in case they don't get to the 8, I disagree with you.
Go Kings, okay. Go.
I need to see my Dubs.
Thank you. Keith from Bowling Green on the text line. The best thing was Calipari going to Arkansas. The worst thing is Calipari taking the players with him. I am interested to see how many of those players end up at Arkansas, what that looks like.
Who would that be?
I don't know. Is it going to get is Reed Shepard going to transfer and bring him over?
Yeah, Reed Shepard's going to the NBA.
Well,
right?
Kyle Tucker says if you're the new Kentucky coach and you want to win over the fan base, just show up to the press conference with Reed Shepard. Say he's coming back.
Is that what Kyle said?
That's what he said.
So Kyle is keeping open the possibility?
I don't know.
Okay. I mean, well, if it brings Reed Shepard, then yeah. And that's a big deal. But I just kind of assumed, again, I talked to the team. There is no team.
I talked to the team today. There's no one here.
I'm talking to myself.
I am not calling the Hogs. I will not do it.
We have to continue to hammer him for not calling the Hogs.
Zach in Nashville on the text line. My best and worst are sort of the same. Last night, the argument between Jared and Joe on whether or not the Preds were, quote, looking ahead in a multi-game series is the best. The worst is someone out there generally thinks teams look ahead in a multi-game series. It's from Zach in Nashville.
Thank you, Zach. You've made up for your Nate Solder text yesterday. Oh, my God. Like I said on Jared versus Joe, one of my favorite things is when TD, he always is texting me now during Jared versus Joe. And yesterday, Jared's sitting there saying that they were looking. Did you hear this?
I did not.
They were looking at, they were looking ahead in the Colorado series of 2018. I'm like, they were looking ahead the entire series, even after they
all six
got
games?
Smoked in game three. They were looking ahead to Winnipeg. TD texted me with like a laughing cry emoji. He's like looking ahead for an entire series. Oh, my God, Jared.
Hope you guys are ready for Winnipeg. It's game two out here in the Colorado series. It's good stuff. Henry on the text line says, the worst thing for me is the same as every year about this time. There are no NFL games. However, I have been saved by the best thing in sports to me, which is playoff hockey coming soon to Smashville. It's been a minute since we've seen some playoff hockey around here. And by a minute, I mean 2 years. 2 years.
And remind me, and this is just – no, never mind, because they did have the – yeah. I was going to say, because in 21, the crowds were limited, but there was technically a series in 22. It just it was just like –
it was over with quickly.
Yeah.
There was not a lot of cheering going on for the home squad. We'll continue to take your best things, your worst things on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Speaking of the Preds, we'll get into the Preds coming up next. They have clinched a playoff spot. Some more movement last night in the NHL, and the playoff picture becoming a little bit more – into focus. We'll get into that, the latest developments on the NHL playoff picture, how it relates to the Preds and Preds coach Andrew Brunette, coming up at 7:30. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.